Back in the centenary year of 1991, Gloucester's captain Ian Smith followed his father Dick, who led the Cherry and Whites in 1968 and 1969. Another example of son following father was the late Gordon Hudson. He captained Gloucester in 1947, 8 and 9. His father Arthur, a later secretary of the club, started playing in 1903.
He played until 1921, but in the war, 4 years of the war, he played for the Royal Navy. He got his cap in 1908. He scored 4 tries in 1 match against France. And I think he's played 8 tries in all. And played 11 matches, I believe.
He was captain of Gloucester in 1908, 9, yes, 10 right. and 11. That's that must right. have been a very proud period for him.
It was a proud period, oh yes, very much so. And he played against Yorkshire at Bradford. Was Gloucestershire won the county championship. He broke his collarbone. And the following season, he took over secretary of the Gloucester club. And he was secretary for a great many years.
Your father was captain in 1908, 9, 10 and 11. You followed on, having 3 years as captain in 1947, 48 and 49. Right. What was the difference, do you think, in rugby in the 40s, as in the early 1900s when your father was playing?
Yeah. Well, of course, my father would say it was never the same. You know, we weren't as good as they were. No, remember, the thing I remember is the ball. We used to see the old rugby ball in photographs. It was more like a soccer ball. Of course, they had the old leather ball. See, then they went on to the plastic balls, which, well, the leather line is supposed to be. They got all sorts of fancy ones now. Because the great story is, in the old leather ball, when you played Lindney at Lindney, they used to soak the ball in the water butt for 3 days before we got down there to make it heavier. Well, that's true, I don't know.
Now, when you were captain, who were the stars of the side?
Oh, of course, Billy Jones, the Glamorgan cricketer. Brilliant cricketer. Brilliant goal kicker. He wasn't more than 5 foot nothing. But he could kick a ball better, faster than anybody I can see, and the old leather ball, which is a heavy ball those days.
And presumably in the old style, the sort of punt straight on
kick. No, he kicked round the ball.
He did kick round
the
ball.
He was one of the first, yes. I mean, Bill Hook was a straight kicker, Trevor Hawes was a straight kicker, but you don't see many these days.
Was the Gloucester pack as strong in those days as it's reputed to be?
We had a good pack then. But of course, it's a job to compare it, because the rules have altered. Same means, I mean, they change the rule every year. And it's difficult to compare those days and these days.
What was it like when you pulled on the cherry and white shirt and you ran out, down the steps, out onto the field?
I was frightened to death. We had crowds those days, mind they used to be. I mean, I'd see in there, if it's an ordinary club like the old Blues, we used to have 4,000 or 5,000 people. Cardiff, 17,000.
So, 17,000 people then to watch a game against Cardiff. And it's not surprising, because Gordon, like most people, was in no doubts about the clubs that gave Gloucester the hard games.
Oh, Cardiff. Oh, the Welsh clubs then. I mean, the Welsh clubs are hard now. Despite their recent setbacks, I mean, they were always difficult to beat.
Any particular games against Cardiff at King's Home?
I remember one was at Cardiff at King's Home back in 1949, 50, something like that. They came up with the whole Welsh back division pretty well, and pack. And we beat them. We had 2 outstanding halfbacks in Bill Cartmel and Vivian Davis. They were outstanding. Because you get 2 good halfbacks and the 3s to back them up, the forwards play so much better.
Is it true that internationals were held on King's Home during the war?
Yeah, because that was service internationals. Where you, wonderful experience, you play with rugby league players. You see, you could play with rugby league players during the war and the first year after the war. I took part in 8, I think.
And what sort of memories have those?
Welsh services, Scottish services, civil defence, anybody in the services outside the Army and Navy, and French services.
But that wasn't the Gloucester side.
No, that was a general Army, Navy and Air Force.
You had no leagues or cups back in those, it was just club rugby.
It was just pride of your club. You went out there to win if you plotted to be good. And if you lost, you were very upset. If there were a lot of people in Gloucester going to think. But that was the atmosphere you played in.
The record books show that you scored 64 tries for Gloucester. Can you remember any one or more of those particularly?
I scored against Neath. Yeah, because I was getting towards the end of my career then. We played Neath. And the Neath fullback was Viv Davis, who should have had a Welsh cap years before, didn't get it. And the week before he played King's Home, he got his Welsh cap. And I broke away with, I know, Roy Parry from the line out, gave the paw to Roy, he gave it back to me, and Viv didn't think I would have the nerve to give him the dummy. I may have thought the other way round, and I gave him the dummy and scored behind the post. That was one outstanding one I remember, but there, of course, there were so many strides scored those days, but you forget it.
It's interesting to think that rugby league and rugby union players joined together during the wartime internationals. Dick Smith remembers one Gloucester player who went north, Tug Wilson.
Well, Ken was stationed in the RAF and played a few local games for Gordon League and then came down to Gloucester. And he had a fairly rapid rise through to Gloucester first, then the county, and then England. And soon after that, he went north. But he was a nice chap to be with, a good player.
Was he a hard player?
Oh, yeah. Funnily enough, he came back to King's Home 5 or 6 years later, just on a visit, and it looked as if he'd been run over by a bus. The state of his, I think he went to Oldham.
The money must have attracted him, I suppose.
Yeah, I think about £3,000. Peanuts nowadays, but in those days, £3,000 was a lot of money.
You never got the opportunity or fancied going yourself?
No, they never asked me.
Well, just as well, we wouldn't have had you here.
National service gave rise to tremendous teams for the Army, Navy and the Air Force. And in fact, Mickey Booth still maintains that his hardest games were in one of those sides.
Two tough games stick out in my memory. We were absolutely against Gloucester at King's Home on Thursday afternoons when I played for the Air Force, when I did my national service. And when you got the likes of Peter Ford coming round the side of the scrum, because in those days the wing forward could break as soon as the ball went in, Fordy nearly kicked me over the tump on both occasions, so they were two difficult games for me as well.
Mickey knew our style of play, we knew Mickey. We had a tremendous advantage over Mickey. He was playing in an Air Force side. It was a Gloucester side against Mickey Booth. So, you know, I think Mickey was probably exaggerating a little bit. Because Mickey was a very, very fine scrum half and obviously one of the best uncapped scrum halves in the country.
They should have spoken to the selectors at the time. No, I enjoyed my game and I played against the best. And I was certainly not as good as Jeeps, who was the scrum half in those days. So, you know, the best player plays for England, and it was Dick.
But you would have taken the jersey with great pleasure if it had been offered.
I'd have walked to Twickenham on my hands and knees.
Let's hear now from Peter West and his first memory of rugby at King's Home.
It was 1947, Pete. I was living in the Home Counties in those days and watching a lot of rugby in the London area. And to come down to King's Home, to find it a temple of rugby with the passion and the fervour and the knowledge of the crowd, albeit a bit prejudiced, they like to see Gloucester win, I don't blame them. It really was a revelation. It was a county match. Gloucestershire lost to Lancashire in the final. I think it was after a replay. And I remember Willie Jones was playing for Gloucestershire. And I can remember seeing one day make 200 for Glamorgan against Kent at Gravesend. Happy days they were.
Which periods would you say of Gloucester rugby stick in your memory most?
I think probably the 70s. When the county were either champions or runners-up almost every year, it seemed to, and Gloucester had this fine pack. Well, they've always had a good pack, haven't they, in the past? It's been traditional forward power and support. They played a lot of 10-man rugby, and why not playing to their strength? In 72, they had a pack in those days. Mike Burton, Mike Nichols, Robin Cowling in the front row, Alan Brin and Jim Jarrett in the second row, John Watkins on one flank, and Smith, father of Ian Smith, on the other flank. Now, that was a typical Gloucester hard pack. And, of course, in 72, they won the first knockout competition, didn't they? Interesting, because I don't think they ever played at home. The faithful never saw their own team in action. They had to follow it away. They had wins against Bath and Bristol and London Welsh and Coventry. London Welsh and Coventry were then in their heyday, a bit different now. And then they beat Moseley in the final at Twickenham, and, of course, all Gloucester came up. And they beat Moseley 17-6. It was a bit of an anticlimax in a way, because I can remember Nigel Horton, the Moseley lock, being sent off. Oh, dear. But, of course, the great thing about Gloucester rugby, it is the game in Gloucester, isn't it? Gloucester have always had this tremendous support, and they are a very knowledgeable crowd. I love going to King's Home. I think it's magic. It's a great atmosphere. And they're a great club, too, because you see a lot of the old players go back onto the committee. Great characters like Digger Morris and Peter Ford, and John Fiddler's gone on the committee in recent years, Mickey Booth, Jim Jarrett, Gordon Hudson, former captain. And those were the days of fullback W.G. Hook. Interesting thing, nearly all the Gloucester international caps have been forwards, haven't they? But there were three fullbacks. Well, there may have been more. There was W.G. Hook, who got three or four caps. There was Don Rutherford, who came down from the northeast. And there was Peter Butler. And, of course, Peter Butler was left out of the side, wasn't he? And Paul Ford was the fullback when they met Moseley.
1982.
You're absolutely right, and that was the 12-12.
This is the first final that has gone to extra time in the knockout in the John Player Cup. Moseley being slewed a little bit. Oh, and the scrum half slipped there as he was trying to slip it away to Perry. He holds on, though. There's a maul. Bang on the 22-metre line. The ball bobbling back untidily on the Moseley side. Killed by the hooker, Gary Cox. And a penalty. A penalty for Gloucester. I reckon that's Gary Cox, because no tries will have been scored and no goals from tries scored. So according to the rules, I reckon that it would be a draw and the John Player Cup trophy would be shared. But first of all, of course, Paul Ford, who's done his side a good turn today with his boot, has got to kick what is well known as a simple goal. 60 seconds to go. Here comes Paul Ford. Up he comes. And it's there. And the Gloucester supporters going wild. They've come up for the cup from Kingsholm, swarming over the pitch.
Paul Ford kicking the penalty that shared the cup for Gloucester. Paul, of course, giving preference to Peter Butler in that game. Butler the Boot, as he was known, holds the record for the most conversions in a season for the club, with 61 in 1972-3. Of course, the league system wasn't around in Peter's playing days.
Well, the period since I've stopped playing has seen the introduction of the Courage League system, and that's changed the game quite a lot, I think. You find that these days, now you have a lot of friendly games during the season, and really the big stuff, the big guns are kept up for the Courage League games, and it's changed the psychological approach to the game completely, really.
Do you think the special games have changed? I mean, they always used to be against the Welsh. Has the fact that the leagues are around now changed that?
I think so, yes. I think really the onus has been on the Courage League games and to perform very well here. You know, these are the players at their best. They're psyched up. They really want to win these games. And I think every other game really has taken a back seat to these games.
Peter says that a lot of the credit for Gloucester's past success can be laid at the door of Dick Smith. Dick, in return, has no doubt who was responsible for founding Gloucester's tactical success.
I think probably Don Rutherford coming in 65, 66, British Lion, and turned the club round, really. Coaching-wise, training-wise, just made everybody think a little bit more and improve the game a bit.
What about players in the side at the time?
We had a pair of halfbacks, so I would think Mickey Booth and Terry Hobson. If they'd have played for anybody else, they'd have played for England. Pete Ford in the back row, myself. Dave Owen, a very underestimated player. Mick Nichols before him, Cyril Thomas. Roy Long, Brian Green, second rows. All good players. The Folk brothers, Jack and Roy. They took some beating up front.
Now, you were captain in 68-69. A very successful time in the club. I mean, you had 109 games in the 2 years, won 63 and lost 40, drew 6. 1,638 points scored. You scored over 100 tries, one of the few people to score over 100 tries. Do you remember any of those particularly?
Probably remember them all if I had time. I remember we played against Cardiff on King's Own once, and we beat them 8-3. There's only 3 points for a try in those days. And I scored the last try, you know, in injury time and won that game.
Can you remember the move that led to the try?
Yeah, they kicked downfield. Alan Older picked it up, passed Terry Ops, and he passed him and it went over. Simple.
What sort of captain were you? You had sort of Mickey Booth a few years before you and Mike Nichols followed you. Compared to them, what sort of captain were you?
I tried to play the ball a bit wider than what was done previous, you know, to what I'd been playing in. I used to like to run with the ball. There was a lot of back row moves with the half-backs and try and spread it a little bit wider. Came off some games, not others. In the first season as captain, we broke the club record for 31 wins. That's been broken time and time again since, but you think that record stood from when John Taylor was captain in about 1949, 50, something like that, right through till 68. So it was a fair span of time with only 31 games in a season being won.
Dick Smith, father of Ian there, and we'll hear from Ian, who captained Gloucester, very soon. You're listening to BBC Radio Gloucestershire and a documentary I put together 20 years ago to celebrate 100 years of rugby at King's Home, which, even if you're not a mathematician, you'll know means this year it's 120 years.